we have been talking about the immovable properties. So we want to have a clear register that can easily be accepted by everybody. For now, we are not 100% believing, because even yourself, when you present, sometimes you say you are there, sometimes you are in Excel, sometimes you forget what you said in another meeting. Now you have honorable members that have good memories here. They are able to pick it up that you are contradicting yourself. So we are happy today you are here as per the instruction of this committee, after realizing that indeed we need to be clear if we have an instrument that can be said is now for sure clear. So that's really the main reason here is the department to brief us on practical steps taken to move the immovable asset register from the Excel to Archibus format towards full compliance with the Government Immovable Asset Register Act 19 of 2007. That is why we are here, noting that some members are not finding their way easy here. We think this is also an information sharing. It's not really a decision-making meeting. So I'm trying to justify and defend my colleagues who are finding their way here. I'm not that happy, but I must be honest, indeed, we're not going to take a decision. But it doesn't mean we are not going to pose difficult questions to you. So we'll still pose, but you'll be lucky because you'll have fewer members that will pose those questions. You are lucky. So then it's an information sharing, but there's an honourable member who wanted to say something before. Honourable Pig?
Thank you, Chairperson. As a Democratic Alliance, we are very concerned about our members in the ANC and other parties, and our thoughts are with them while they recover wherever they are. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I wonder the recovering part, but I'm happy the honourable member is very considerate, because indeed we don't know why members are finding it difficult, but I think they may still find their way in. But we must really be grateful that the two honourable members are here. But remember, we really treat this committee as a committee of parliament. We always refuse to see ourselves as of parties. So I hope even if we must, the temptation to see ourselves as party, I think we should desist from it, because it's not very good. It cannot be sustained. So the best is not to go there. So I hope we are together, not very much. Can we then go? I would say those were opening remarks. Of course, we have noted that the DM is here, as usual. We really appreciate. But we'll also impress that the minister must also find the time. It was very good that last time he himself was presenting. So at least the meeting was very warm. So we grateful. Those are the words of appreciating that meeting. And today the DM is here. And also today the DG is also here. I can see top people are also here. So thank you very much for coming. So can we then go to apologies?
Thank you so much, Chairperson, and good morning to everyone present. Our honourable members from the PC and Public Works who have tendered apologies this morning are as follows. Honourable Mjobo, she could not get a flight from an early flight from KZN, so she won't be able to make it to the meeting. Honourable Adams is getting a bit delayed. He shall be here later. Honourable Sithole is attending another portfolio committee meeting. Dr. Mazopa is still off ill, as we have been advised. Honourable Mathais is also not able to attend this meeting due to party duties. The last one is Honourable Matebe, who has been booked off ill for today and tomorrow. From the department side, we have an apology of the minister. He was here earlier on. He's now going to attend another meeting of the standing committee on appropriations. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. We take it that we note those apologies. I don't see any hands for further apologies from the honored members. I think we're okay. We will then go straight to the... We always do introduction before we hand over to the department. It will be easy today. From the chair is the chairperson of the committee, and Memezi. Honored members over there.
Good morning, everybody. Dennis Ryder is my name.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Malcolm Fing, a member of the committee.
Thank you very much. We'll immediately hand over to the DM.
You want me to teach you, Pastor?
Definitely.
Jeremy Craven, Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much. We'll hand over to the Director General, and you'll do everything.
Thanks very much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister, colleagues. I've got with me here colleagues who are responsible for the Immovable Asset Register. They will introduce themselves, and then we can actually introduce the discussion. Ma'am, you can just introduce yourselves.
Hello, it's Chairperson, members of the committee, DM, DG, and colleagues. It's Swansea Matthews, responsible for the Immovable Asset Register.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Nashti Sanka. I'm part of the Immovable Asset Register team.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Siboniso Sokela. I'm part of the Asset Register team.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members, DM, DG. My name is Chair Clive Mchisa, TDG Corporate Services.
Good morning, Chair, DM, and Honourable Members. My name is Beki Zwane. I'm responsible for ICT applications.
Okay. Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Ernest Ledwaba. I am in the ICT Chief Directorate. Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Lindiswas Kosana. I'm part of the ICT team in Public Works Department for System Operations.
Morning, Honourable Members. My name is Mukachan Chauke. I'm part of the RACE team.
Morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Eric Ramsamy. I'm part of the Real Estate Management Division of the Department.
Thanks, Chair. The name is Nola Jogodwana, Committee Secretary, PC on Public Works.
Good morning, everyone. Shoaib Nathan, nation content advisor.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Stephanie, Research of the Public Committee on Public Works.
Good morning. I'm Noam Tanavesa, the Committee Assistant.
Thank you very much. There's a lady in the corner there. So we can see you are here. Please tell us who you are.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. I am Makope Griffiths, the PLO for Auditor General.
Thank you very much. You are a very important person. Are we leaving anybody? Nobody else in the corner.
Yeah, good morning, members. I'm Sir William Asanzi, I write for PMG. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is your instrument working?
Yes, sir, it's working very well.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
The Auditor General is here in case there's something not going right. Thank you very much. Director General, back to you for the presentation.
Thanks very much. We are going to make a presentation. My colleague will take the approach we have taken is that we look into the purpose of this presentation and also talk about the Excel as to how do we utilize the Excel and also talk about the hubs which houses this immovable asset register. We'll also indicate and clarify that the Excel may be with us for quite some time because it's a tool that we use to implement, and then it actually get more information from the repository of this asset register. So we are going to make a presentation as and when there is a need. We'll pause if there are questions, or we can finish the presentation, then we can talk about all the issues relating to how we're implementing. We've got the ICT colleagues here. Because the asset register, they are the ones who are actually assisting us in terms of moving from where we are to the end state to ensure that at the end of the day we have the new system that actually ensures that we work through using these systems all the time. But we have not arrived there. We'll actually give a plan as to where are we, when are we going to arrive there. But at this stage, we have started working through the new systems, Archibus and Sage. Madam Sanzi, will you want Vincent who's going to present?
On this occasion, Chair, we are going to have the presentation done by Mr. Siboniso Sogela, and then my other colleague, Mr. Nash Sankar, will then go through the video or the demo that we've prepared. So we'll take things in that order, if acceptable, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bonizo.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Deputy Minister, DG, the DDGs, Honorable Members, and colleagues. The presentation, just to make a few comments on the first slide, we have our theme. It says partially enhanced asset information. This is the theme of the asset registry branch, in line with our strategic goal. The strategic goal of the registry branch is to provide immovable asset information that informs investment decisions and portfolio management. So we make use of technology to collect this information in order to meet the business requirements of the PMTE. Now, the purpose of the presentation to this committee today, it seeks to inform the portfolio committee of the practical steps that have been taken by the department to move the immovable asset register from Excel to Archibus format towards full compliance with the government immovable asset register. Act 19 of 2007. And we're also going to highlight the process of collecting and saving core data of the movable asset register using technology. But most importantly, we also want to confirm the continued use of Excel spreadsheets for importing and exporting data from the DPWRT systems for reporting purposes. We prepare annual financial statements as well as interim financial statements which are submitted to the Office of the Auditor General and National Treasury. On this slide is just a high-level summary of our portfolio as a department, DPW being the custodian of immovable assets that are used by various national departments as of 31 March 2018. Our portfolio consists of 29,644 land parcels and 89,626 improvements. These properties are being utilized by various national departments, Home Affairs, the police, in order to meet the service delivery objectives of the state. In addition, the vacant land parcels are also being released by the department on an annual basis. I'm sure our minister, when he makes the budget vote speech, we always release a certain number of land parcels to the Department of Human Settlement and Rural Development for land reform purposes. The IIR, we think, is also used as a primary source for all property-related activities. Basically, the business of PMTE revolves around the movable asset register. And now the significance of the IIR, we just want to highlight the significance of the IIR both to the state and to the department. In terms of the government objectives, the National Development Plan, for socio-economic purposes, we utilize the IIR to release those to identify the land parcels when we receive the applications from the municipalities and various departments. Those land parcels are released for socio-economic purposes. And like I said earlier, the IIR is the tool that is being used by the PMTE to effectively carry out its mandate in order to meet the objectives, the service delivery objectives of the state. And we are saying that the most important is that a complete IIR underpins a successful implementation of GIAMA, because the movable asset register forms an integral part of GIAMA, because it's a repository of immovable assets. So it's important to ensure that we comply to legislation, not only GIAMA, but the PFMA, applicable CAF standards, national treasury regulations and guidelines, as well as our own PMTE immovable asset management policy. Again, all still on the significance of the immovable asset register, we were contacted by National Treasury and the Reserve Bank. They're waiting on what we call the G20 balance sheet project. So as one of the main custodians at national level, we are approached by Treasury and the Reserve Bank because they needed information regarding the value of the assets at national level as well as the provincial level. So we have valued those properties as at 31 March 2018, the total value of our portfolio was 126 billion. And in terms of the extent, it's 5.4 million hectares, the land, and 36.8 million hectares, that's the buildings. The PFMA requires the accounting officer, our DG, to manage and safeguard the assets to prevent fraud or misappropriation of assets. If you do not have a record of your properties, if they have not been recorded or recognized, then it's easy for such properties even to disappear because you do not know what you own in the first place. So we have made an effort as a department to address the completeness of all the immovable assets under the custodianship of DPW. Just on this slide, the background. Just after the elections, now this is the new dispensation in South Africa. The first project was undertaken in 1995 to 1999 when information was collected and a repository was created to store such information, which we refer to as the Property Management Information System, PMIS. Let me mention that we're still using the PMIS, Honorable Chairperson, to pay rates and taxes, municipal services. So we still have a system, apart it's not just the Excel that we have been talking about all along. There is a system where we have the properties where we are paying rates and taxes, the PMIS, which was established in 1999. And it's also important to highlight the fact that the immovable asset register is not a static inventory. So it requires continuous enhancements and improvements to ensure compliance to legislation, in particular Section 13D of GIAMA. We need to conduct condition assessment on immovable assets over a 5-year cycle. And also to ensure that we provide reliable immovable asset information to PMTE in terms of ensuring that the data is updated and is recent. So to make informed decisions based on correct and reliable information. And also to ensure proper accounting for immovable assets in line with the PFMA, as well as compliance to applicable GRAP standards and National Treasury guidelines. Now, in 2013, just to give you a background, in fact, prior to 2013, in 2012, Honorable Chairperson and members here, you recall that DPW embarked on a turnaround program, which was initiated by our current minister, Honorable Macy. And in that program, there were various projects. Project number one of our turnaround program was the asset register, simply because the asset register is core. And prior to 2012, the department had received disclaimers, and at the heart of those disclaimers was the immovable asset register. So in 2012-2013, when we embarked on the program to enhance the immovable asset register, to address the management assertions, because our approach, we address the management assertions, which are completeness, the existence, rights and obligations, valuation, as well as presentation and disclosure. So the approach as management, the decision was taken to say, when you collect this information, we are not going to use just paper or just send people on the field just using paper. We decided to utilize technology. So in 2013, we appointed a service provider, as per that first bullet point on this slide, professional mobile mapping, to develop a mobile application for data collection. And this mobile application, it includes a geographic spatial representation of the assets on the ground. And we also wanted to ensure that we have controls in terms of confirming the existence of these assets. When we send the field workers to the field, it's easy for some people maybe to sit somewhere, if they are familiar with the properties in the area, just to check and confirm that they have been verified, and only to find that they have not been to site. So one of our controls through this mobile application that you cannot verify an asset unless you are within 30 meters of the location. So we developed, this software was developed, which we have utilized since 2013. We, like I said earlier, in terms of our under the peoples, we utilize technology to collect the data. Well, there is a process that we followed in collecting this data, verifying both the land, buildings, and significant components. I'll move now to the next slide just to highlight this process of collecting data. On this slide, we have the desktop GIS mapping and loading of footprints. This is basically the starting point in terms of this technology I spoke about, the mobile application. You have a team, it's the GIS technicians. Even as a department, we have recruited graduates and GIS technicians, professionals who are registered with Plateau. They assist in terms of, because it's important that you identify the asset on the ground as well as the parameters before you send a field worker to confirm the existence and verify the completeness of those assets. So that is the first step, the desktop GIS mapping, which is geographical information system, and loading of footprints where we identify the land as well as the improvements that have been built on that land parcel. Then the next step, it's field work. Once the properties have been loaded on the tablets. We're using the tablets as hardware. They are loaded on the tablets, and then we send the field worker to the field now to confirm the quantity, because in some cases maybe there are some changes. The quantity might have changed. Either it's more or it's less. And then once the information has been collected by the field worker, who will then send the information through technology, through what we call the quality assurance process. As you can see, all the QA1, which is quality assurance process 1, 2, and 3. Again, just to make sure that the data that we have collected is actually correct and accurate. And ultimately, once the data has been confirmed via the quality assurance process by head office, it's important to highlight, Chairperson, that the data, all the records that have been approved by head office on that slide, you can see head office, those buildings, those records are saved to Oracle database. Since 2013, when we embark on a physical verification, in 2013 we utilize the service providers, but since 2015 we are now utilizing internal resources that have been recruited by the department to build capacity and to reduce reliance on consultants, because it's not sustainable to appoint consultants every. So the data is then saved on that Oracle database, which is a repository for the immovable asset register. It's important that I highlight that is the core. Our core data is stored on the server. Even for control purposes, that server is located at CETA. So even people from cannot actually have access to our data, because there are controls that have actually been built in. Now, the next step, when I now do the reporting, Chairperson, as you can see, there's an Excel logo in the middle there, export to Excel. So currently, we have been downloading our records from the repository on Oracle, download these reports on Excel. We're using Excel as a reporting tool, not as a source. As a reporting tool, because we need to provide information to AG and other stakeholders in a certain format, because PMTE is under GRAP, which is a generalized accounting practice. We need to submit information in a certain format for presentation. So we utilize Excel for that purpose, because it's a friendly tool to prepare such information, but the source is not Excel. In fact, going forward, we will still be utilizing Excel, even as we have moved the data now to Archibus. On my left, Chairperson and honorable members and colleagues, on my left, you can see reports from Archibus. So the data that was in Oracle database, we have now transferred it, we have now migrated that data to Archibus system. Again, utilizing Excel, because it's not possible to move data from a system to another system. So in between, you have Excel as a tool again, so where you put this data and then transfer it to Archibus, which is a repository. So currently, we have data in Oracle, and we also have data that has been migrated to Archibus, which is another repository system. Basically, Archibus is an ERP system, is a future of the department. Just well, I hope that I've managed to clarify that issue regarding the use of Excel. It's just a reporting tool, but it's not the source. So even if somebody were to delete the records in Excel, but we still have our records saved in the system, whether it's Oracle database as a repository or it is Archibus. This slide, we just want to show the capability of our mobile application. Like I said earlier, we use it to identify the location as well as the parameters and the boundaries of our assets. On this slide, the system, the mobile application, assists us to determine the extent of improvement. As you can see in this particular case, it shows the total extent as 866.72 square meters. All of this is actually performed by our GIS technicians prior to the physical verification being conducted by the field worker. And also our data, in line with our theme as the asset registry team, specially enhance asset information. All our land parcels, as you can see, Chairperson and honorable members, are represented spatially. The land, like I said, they are stored as per the boundaries in terms of their parameters. And all the land parcels, you can see that little box, is basically the attribute data attached that is viewable. So for all our land parcels, you can actually view it utilizing this technology as they are represented here. The same principle applies even to our improvements as well. The improvements are actually stored as polygons. Polygons is basically means shapes, because the buildings, again, you saw the earlier slide where we calculated the extent of the building. So basically those are polygons. So that data is stored as polygons or shapes. And all our improvements as well, they are represented spatially or on this slide, and they are viewable from the spatial representation. TMTE is under GRAP, which is a generally recognized accounting practice. One of the requirements of GRAP is that we need to recognize significant components. So when we collect information, it's not only to verify the land and the buildings, but most importantly, to identify the components in the building. This also helps us to address facilities management needs, because the significant components are basically the main driver for facilities management. The generators, as you can see on that slide, the generators, the lifts, the boilers, as well as the air conditioning system, because the significant components have a different useful life from the structure. The structure can be, the useful life can be 60 years or 100 years. For instance, the Union Building is over 100 years. But it's important that we record the significant components and indicate their useful life, which this information, like I said earlier, will then assist facilities management. The data can also be represented by user department. On this slide, the IR is representing the SEPS land parcels points across South Africa. So per department, you can just filter the information and show it spatially. And over and above that, we can also show the information spatially in terms of the utilization or non-utilized. For instance, on this slide, this is Pretoria. I don't know if you can see. Behind that, the Union buildings, all those buildings that are in orange, or in terms of the legend there, they are utilized. So spatially, you can say, this is a city or this region or a province. We can demonstrate which buildings are utilized and which buildings are not utilized. Again, also, this information, we collect it for decision making if management requires such information. On this slide, when you're developing Archibus, we also had to take into account the requirements of GIAMA in terms of the life cycle management of immovable assets. Like I said earlier, the IR forms an integral part of GIAMA. So in terms of the planning, the acquisition, accountability, performance, as well as disposal, take into account all the relevant modules, because all the other modules, actually the IR is a key dependency for most of the modules. Like I said, the business of PMT of the department revolves around the immovable asset register. This is just an overview in terms of ACIPAS functionality. Like again, we're just demonstrating on this slide the IR, the link of the movable asset register, even with the UMs, the CM. We had an engagement with the client departments where we assist them, we provide the information so that they can develop a complete UM that will also assist us as a department to comply, to compile a complete custodian asset management plan. So this just shows the link of the movable asset register with the various units within the PMTE. We had to take this into account when we're developing ACIPAS. It was also important to look at the value chain of the PMTE, all the various business units, and also the IR, to say what is the link. But the most important thing is to ensure alignment, because you cannot develop a system that is not aligned to your business process. Otherwise, you have a system that does not speak to your business process. So we have to take into account all the various modules that are on this slide and the various business units within the PMTE in developing ACIPAS. Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, this slide basically it addresses your question. What are the practical steps that have been taken by the department to move the IR from Excel to ACIPAS? The first step is the project inception. So a decision was taken by the department to acquire a new ERP solution in terms of taking into account the operationalization of the PMTE and to ensure that we are GRAP compliant. And then the second step was to look at the requirement specification. So as a department, we then had to develop a requirement specification document. Basically, a detailed requirement for an immovable asset register to comply with the relevant legislation, PSMA, GIAMA, and GRAP. Then the next step was now to take a decision. A decision was taken by the department that ACIPAS was actually the software of choice, taking into account that we deal with property, the huge property portfolio under the custodianship of Public Works. The next step, Honorable Chairperson, although this, I know this is technical, but we need to take you through this because we wanted to know what are the steps that have been taken, was now to look at the user requirements specification and the functional requirement specification. That's when they also developed. And then this was followed by now the configuration of the system, which is number 5, and user acceptance testing. Basically, the system was now configured, and we conducted user acceptance testing. The users now, basically the users, these are the officials that will be using the system, ACIPAS. For instance, in our unit, we have officials who are based at head office, as well as officials who are based at the regional offices. So they were also now involved in this process in terms of testing, in terms of acceptance testing and for functionality. Then step number 6 was basically migration now of IR data from Oracle server. You recall earlier on there was a slide that showed that the data was saved on the Oracle database. Now we are saying this data is now being migrated from that server. It's not migrated, Chairperson and honorable members, it's not migrated from Excel, but from the server where we have our code data stored there. Migrated now to ACIPAS. So the data was exported from the IR database, Oracle database, using Excel, as I indicated, as a tool, because you're moving information from a repository, from a system, to another system. And then, of course, there was a need to do mapping. The data had to be mapped prior to migration to Archibus. And the seventh step was now data testing and training. Because if you are moving data from a system to another system, it's important to ensure that all your records indeed have been moved or migrated to the new system or the repository. And you need to check the completeness thereof. So you actually have a checklist. That's why I say it's important to do background verification of migrated records to test completeness. So the data was also verified on the system for correctness. And the updated exceptions also on the system if there were any gaps or exceptions. And then also the training of users. As I indicated earlier on, we have users at head office as well as who are based at head office as well as at the regional offices. After the data testing and training, now we move to the production, which is basically the live environment. So the data being moved from test to the production environment. It's the immovable asset data maintenance. Or on Archibus, my colleague on my right, Mr. Nesh Sankar, is actually going to take us through a video. Basically, it's a demonstration now of this data in a live environment, the immovable asset data that has been moved to Archibus. And we also have the call center. Calls are being made from various departments when there are issues with the properties, what we call unscheduled maintenance. Maybe there's a fault, they're reporting it's a lift or any component that's not functioning. Through the call center, we are utilizing this data that has been migrated to Archibus to address these issues, Chairperson and honorable members, of unscheduled maintenance. Even the immovable asset maintenance module is also live on Archibus. Basically, those are the steps that we have taken. This slide shows the process that has been followed by the department from the beginning to the end to ensure that the data is migrated to Archibus, but it's from the Oracle database, not from Excel. We are using Excel as a tool, either to report or even to transfer the data to another system. In this particular case, it's actually Archibus.
Are you done?
Yes.
So, Nesh, you ready for the parcel? Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. I will be narrating through the demo. As the video plays, I will explain each step, what happens, and how features are configured on Archibus for use by the user.
Are you able to see the bus call from that side? Okay. So I thought you were looking at my beauty. That's why. Maybe you are following the bus call. You see, as a young boy, we used to fight to be given money to enter the bus call. It was very important in the rural areas. So others may not know. So take us through, Nesh.
Thank you, Chairperson. Archibus is controlled by user login. Each user has a specific username that they will log in with, and based on their login credentials, they will have access to specific items within the system. So at the beginning, I just demonstrate that we can log in. This is my user profile for the demo.
Okay.
So once we log in, we have a list of menu items which is displayed on the left side of the screen. And like I said, depending on user access, you will have maybe just one or two of these menu items available to you. For the purpose of the demo, we just allowed all the menu items to be visible. But to show the asset register, we use the asset management module within Archibus. Within the asset management module are also multiple different menu options for movable assets and immovable assets. And for the demonstration, we use the immovable asset view, which is a viewing tool that is available to all users of the department to search and view the assets within the asset register. Now, if you look on the screen, there is a view button at the beginning of each of those assets that allows users to search and view the assets only. Alright, so the screen is expandable. Sorry.
When you view the asset only, it zooms and gives you information about that specific asset.
Yes, sir. And I allude to that.
Wherever it is in South Africa.
Yes.
Can you please take us through the columns that are there?
Okay.
Sure.
So the first column is the asset code, which is a unique code that is assigned to each and every asset within the system that has been loaded. The second column is a facility code. So based on the number of assets within the same facility, they will have the same facility code, thereby creating a facility for the assets. We have a regional breakdown based on the 11 regions of Department of Public Works. We have a provincial breakdown. We have the cities. We have an asset name where we name the assets as per what we refer to the assets. We have a link to the previously used information, the PMIS system that Mr. Sokelo alluded to earlier, where we carry some of the information that was used by the colleagues previously. A typical example is the building name changes, etc., that have happened over the years. So some of the colleagues still use those references when they are calling in. So this allows a link between the old information to the new information. We have the street address, the street number and street name. We also have a breakdown of the assets, whether they are land, improvements, components, or infrastructure. The LPI, the land parcel, indicator, which is a unique reference to the land parcel as per the Surveyor General as well. So further through the video, we do get to all of those categories as per the menu item, and it does take us through the functionality as per that. Okay, so we are able to scroll through the information. You're also able to page through the information at the bottom left-hand side. You will see there's a next button there and a previous button. And you're able to page through the information to view the assets. You're able to filter based on the information, the filters that are available at the top. For example, you see that we are clicking through those filters. You can type in information there, and it will filter down based on the information you type in. At the top of the screen is also other filters that can be used by the user to search for a specific asset that they are looking for. Okay, so in the video we were searching for an asset and we used the facility code to demonstrate the asset. And I'll pause it as soon as it filters. So there you will now notice that in the filtered view, on your screen it doesn't show very well there, but in the filtered view, all the assets have a unique asset value on the left-hand side, right on the left corner there. But because there are many assets in the same facility, they all carry the same facility code. So thereby keeping it all within the same facility.
But I thought you would then explain how you differentiate if you then want to be specific if all of them are.
Okay. So if you look here, you'll see that we have an asset type that differentiates between the land, the improvements, and the components within the facility. So each asset has a unique asset code, which is unique. It won't be repeated through the system. But we then differentiate between the asset type based on whether it's a land or improvement or component, which is shown now. So you see the bottom of the screen. It shows you that there are components. There are three components within this facility. There are quite a number of improvements. And right at the top of that menu, you will find that there's one land parcel. Okay.
Okay, so that was using the filtering option right at the top of the screen. We could also use the filtering options to just filter based on the region and then show just the number of assets within that region. So the demo just filtered a few regions to show that, it does change in terms of the regions that are available for us. Right. Since we used the facility code previously, we could use the facility code again through this menu and also do the same filtration. And because it's all referencing the same data source, it will return the same values once the filter is used. If we are aware of the assets and the asset name, we can also filter by the asset name and the region and get the same results back as for that demonstration. Once you have the assets that you are looking for, you can click on the View button and it opens up a secondary tab at the top of the screen, and this is where you will be able to see the information behind that asset. So the asset code is always displayed on the view and the asset name. And it's important to note that if you are engaged on a land asset and it is within a facility that is linked to improvements, there is always a link table that shows all the improvements that is linked to that land parcel within the facility. So we always keep the facility relationship throughout the system. Right, in this view, you'll find that at the top there, it tells you it's a land asset that you are actually viewing the information for, but it does show you all the improvement that is linked to that land parcel. So the relationship is kept throughout. Then we have, so we just go through the multiple improvements that is linked to the land parcel. We have these menu items that are available, which is these little black triangles, and these just expand so that you can see the information of the assets behind it. So depending on the type of information, it's categorized as per Archibus, and you can expand each of those and view the information behind it. What we've also done is we've added the view button from the relationship table, so you can then go and view information for the related assets within that view. So if you notice in the demo, I've now clicked the view button for an improvement. It shows you the unique asset code for the improvement, the asset name, and it also shows you the link to other assets within the system. You'll notice it does a round-robin link back to the land as it keeps that relationship. So now even if you have only the asset code of that improvement, and you search and view the asset, that improvement, it shows you the link to the land or any other information that is available there. This one also shows a link or a relation to a component, which is a lift that is within this building. And then again from there, you can view the information if you want to of the component, you can expand on those menu items, those little triangles, and view the information of the improvements that are there. Okay, the demo does then go through the information of the components. As you can see, at each click of the view button, it opens a separate tab on your screen, because it's built to work in a tabular format like you would use Internet Explorer or any other tool. And it always keeps that relationship, so that you can have multiple assets open and you can do a quick check between them to make sure things are in the right places. All right, so what we've been looking at now was the immovable asset view. This is where users are able to search and view the information only. No editing can be done. So if a user is just a user of the views, they can search and view this information. We also have the option at the top right-hand side where we can add this information to our favorites, thereby creating a sort of a portfolio that you're working with every day and it will be easily accessible. You can print information directly out of the system, or you can email the information as a report directly from the system. All filters can be cleared by just clicking the little black box that's available. All right, here we go, and this demonstrates the different asset types in terms of land. The improvement. Component, and the infrastructure.
We may want to stop you there, because when the members engage, they will give you a better reason to say what you are saying, and see if you can master the first hop very well. Honourable members, can we ask questions? Can we be at? There's a report presented. There's also an opportunity to just check things on the first hop. We can also ask questions. Can I give you that opportunity? Dr. Peek and the Honorable Reza.
Thank you, Chair. Don't look so worried. Chair, thank you. A good presentation. Made as simple as possible. It makes sense to me, and I understand it. I also like the live, what you call Facebook, but the live presentation, and I think it looks as though it's going to achieve the objectives. The important thing, and that's where the Auditor General will come in, is the actual controls, which are important. For example, one of the things that I'm thinking of, and when I go through the presentation, I'll ask a question. There's a leasing out, and I see there's some analysis, but then there's also the cost that are associated with the assets. Now, my question for now will be, is there, well, first of all, my question would be, is that are the total costs recovered by leasing out the revenue that is generated by the asset? Is the total cost, for example, your rates and taxes and your maintenance costs and so forth? But related to that, the question I'll ask, is there some sort of a control in the system where if you charge a leasing out cost of 1,000 rand, for example, and then the actual costs are 2,000, would there be a red light that would flash to say, "But sorry, you're undercharging undercharging for this asset," for example? That's just something that I'm thinking of up front. But as I said, good presentation, and all we ask again, you know, we've had some good presentations from many people, but all we ask is implementation. If it's implemented as per the, you know, what is being described to us and explained, then it has to work, and that's all we're saying is implemented, and we're happy we should achieve the objective. So that's, as I said, it's a good presentation. Then just some questions for clarification in the presentation itself. Slide number 4 refers to the 29,000 or 29,000 plus. I know that there were 93,000. Oh, sorry. Okay. Just explain that to me. I'm not too sure. Sorry, Chairperson. These 89,626 improvements, are they on the land parcels, in other words, on the 29,000 land parcels? I'm not too sure what is meant by that statement there, because I notice that no reference is made to actual buildings, of which we know there are about 93,000. Maybe I've missed it. So I just want to just get that figure of 89,000. Where does that fit in with the land parcel? Just please an explanation as far as that is concerned. Then the furthermore slide number 6. And yeah, this is the statement related to the rates and taxes, municipal services, and so forth. That is a statement I made at the beginning. My question would be: is there full recovery? Because if we look in with regards to generation of income, and I referred to slide 17, because on slide 17 you illustrated clearly. The costs and the revenue that is generated. So slide number 7, you see that I think it's green leasing out versus the rates and taxes and maintenance costs is my question again. It's do we know what the total amount of rates and taxes? Okay, that's not really necessary, but my direct question with regards to that is, again, I'm just repeating myself, apologies for that, but do we recover fully plus whatever? Because we're not even talking about things like your service costs and so forth, because sometimes we don't know who pays for it. Is it paid by the client, or is it paid by Public Works? So that's just a question that I would like answered, please. On slide number 8, sorry, 6, why am I saying 8? Yes, it is 6. This about the first bullet point, the DPW made a significant contribution to the balance sheet. My question is that you give a figure of 126 billion rands worth of assets. Are those only the correction of the assets that were valued at 1 rand, or is that the total value of all the assets, in other words, your 93,000 buildings plus your 29,000 land parcels? That 126 billion. Just clarification on that. Of course, slide number 8. Now, this was very interesting to me when you explained how the assets, the verification of the assets for completeness, and you indicated that the assets cannot be verified if you're further than 30 meters away. Now, that's good. It's good control. It's interesting. And you also indicated that field workers are used. Now, if we look at a total of about, what, it's 130 assets in total. My question is, how many field workers are used? And these field workers, are they permanent workers, or are they only used to verify the assets? And how long does that take, and when? In other words, is it only done, I know you don't do the audit as well, but when does that take place? Does it happen on an annual basis? Because I found that very interesting, just to, if you don't mind, just giving another better explanation as to how that process actually works. And then, Chairperson, the last question that I have is the one on slide number 12. Let me just skip this. Oh, yeah. Now this question is related to the improvements. So I know how you value the assets. In a previous slide, you indicate that you value it at cost. Now, my question is it historical cost? Okay, that's for one. But now, when there are any improvements to the asset, obviously, then you value it at the cost of those improvements. All right? So, and you've got your generators, etc. My question is that asset revalued in totality? Because if there are any additions to the asset, then surely there's a historical cost which could be valued at before 1994, before even 1990. Is that entire asset revalued, or do you, it might sound like a silly question, but do you use the historical cost and then the cost of the valuation and add the two together? Because obviously to determine whether you are leasing out the asset at market value, then surely the asset should be valued at market value and not at cost, because on, I think at one of the earlier slides it indicated that the asset is valued at cost. It's valid. So my question is the asset revalued when there is an addition, or are assets revalued on a regular basis? Just as far as that is concerned. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you also to the Department very much for the presentation, which I think goes a long way to bringing us a lot closer together in terms of understanding and helping us to understand exactly where we are. Let's go to slide four if we can. Just a similar thing to what my colleague Dr. Pick pointed out. Again, just going back to the numbers of properties and improvements. Now, I'm going back to a presentation a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, 31 October 2017, where the numbers given to us were 30,097 and 92,594 in those two categories. So essentially we've got a movement on 453 land parcels and 2,958 buildings that have been disposed of. Now, although that's fairly low in terms of a percentage, I think it's about 3%. About 3%, and it's fairly low as a percentage, but I was expecting a lower figure based on where I thought we were at this stage. So is that a correct movement? Was my question from that slide. Then really, slide 8, if we can. Let's go to slide 9 first, if you don't mind, and then I'm going to ask. So the reason that we're really here is to talk about Excel and the migration of information from Excel to our systems. And the reason that we're discussing that is because it was highlighted by the Auditor General. As a problem. Now, my first question is, in terms of your in reports, I think it kind of makes sense that they are exported to Excel and reported in that way. It makes sense to me because I know that I've done it with various other software things, but is that acceptable to the AG? Now, I'm not asking the AG to answer us today, but you know, since they're the ones that have highlighted the issue, is that end report, you know, is that acceptable? The more concerning part for me is the movement from the Oracle database via Excel to Archibus. And I think that we need to understand that the concerns around Excel are because of the fact that Excel is so easily manipulated and dreadfully misunderstood, because you know when people hit the filter button and they don't highlight all the columns, we all know what goes wrong. Okay, so is that middle step desirable? Is it not problematic? I think to me that's where the flag comes. So the reports at the end, I think, you know, I can obviously live with that. But that middle step is, I think, where the data has the potential for becoming tainted. And I'm wondering if that little step stays in the picture, if we're ever going to keep the Auditor General happy. So that's my question on that. Then, yeah, if you have a look at the fellow in the on a lighter note, the report to head office, that lady looks really grumpy. Perhaps your relationship's head office needs to be anyway. Let's focus on the gentleman in the red shirt. Field work. How many field workers are there? I know that my colleague did ask as well. And if we can move now to slide 8 as well, the middle bullet point refers to RAR project managers. I want to know how many people are in this chain. How many people are busy with the process of finalizing this asset register? And one of the issues, again, it relates to an old presentation not that old, it was done in August, where some historical context was given. And the fact that we've been busy with this since 2015, so we're 3 years on, 4 years if you include 2015, but I know that would have been procurement and all of those nasty things. So 3 years later, with 90,000 buildings, if you break it down over the three years effectively, you know, there's 115 assets needed to be registered per week. I think that you've probably got enough people that they should have done that already by now, that should have probably been achieved. So I would like to have an idea of how many guys are in the picture there. The rest, I must say, it was really nice for me to see the practical use of Archivus. I think I would like to fiddle with it a lot more and push more buttons. So maybe I'm going to be requesting the DM to authorize access for me at some stage, because I think that the information here is going to be extremely useful to us in our oversight work. So I think that these committee members may...
do a bit of tailored response.
There you go. Fair enough. But, yeah. And then, of course, just to pick out the fact that there's no dates. So I think that the DG did mention that he was going to tie himself down to some dates in his introduction. But if you have a look at that slide that talks about practical steps taken to migrate data to Archivus, there's no dates. When are we going to be finished? When are we going to say... I know it'll never be finished. I know it'll always be a work in progress. But when are we going to sign off the fact and say, guys, we're at a point where we're comfortable and we're now at that stage. So just please commit to a date. It would have been nicer to see it in the presentation so that it would be remembered for our next bit of time we talk about this. But yeah, give us a date. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Maybe I must join the honorable members, DG and DM, on appreciating that the presentation is simple. As a rural boy, I understand it easy. I think Boniso is also very good in explaining. So I think Sakara, a little bit of a closing. maybe what I would also want to hear the assets that we have afloat, if they are part of this system, I want that explanation. I also want to be honest with you. We are fresh from Namibia, where the joint visit there with the International Relations Portfolio Committee. The report we got from yourselves was that we have 9 properties there. I guess you know what you're talking about. But just before we move out of South Africa, the new High Commissioner in Namibia told us, no, you guys are lying. He has proof that there are 20 properties with title deeds. Then when we landed there, indeed, we were given all the proofs. We also physically went and saw the 20 properties, not the 9. Who is fooling who? These 11, what were you up to about? 11 that you said they were not there. We also moved to away from Venduk, but even in Venduk, the mayor was clear with it. Our properties, the way he, as a mayor, as a resident of that area, cannot be that number. The way he understands
how South Africa has been in those countries. He thought there are some games. If we were having time, maybe work with us, use at his office. So when we also move out of Bendu, went to the other city in the sea there, even the driver that was taking us along said, it can't be like you have 5 properties there. So properties there were, in fact, he counted them 200. Because we're saying we're owning everything towards the sea there. It was South Africa's. In fact, he even mentioned some Dan Pinar and Van Vieren and other guys who were really in control of those properties. This is just an ordinary driver who happened to be a white guy who understand that area. Now, these things didn't sit comfortable to us because we're representing South Africa. Now, when properties just disappear, even how those properties were ignored did send a message to us that indeed there's something wrong about us versus our properties. So we think you must explain. We also went to Germany. The most important property to talk about is in Bonn. 2 properties. They are one of the best properties, almost, you know, close to Union Building. But for whatever reason, they were left to degenerate for, I don't know, is it 14 years? For how many years?
21.
For 21 years. This is a property that is closer to Union Building in terms of the value. It's on top of the river, which is like the sea. That river is used for transportation as a European important river, you know. They value that river, others they pray that river, you know. It's like Mississippi in America. You see, you unlock, you talk to Mississippi. So it happens, you know. So those 2 properties are there in the prime land. But you guys pretend that they are not there. You allow them to degenerate. 21 years, DM.
We'll respond to you in a moment.
Sure. I respond, Dan.
Respond, Dan, something.
Can we respond?
Yes, I'm in the house.
Okay, thank you very much. Lot of questions. I think I'll ask my colleagues to respond on the others. The ones on the project plan, I think the ICT will take that because it's more in their area, the space, the date, timeline. And then the issue of the international, also the DM will get in here. But let's give you space to start, I think. Or Rams, you want to say something?
Yes.
Because they are the users of the leaves out.
Chairperson and honourable members, I think the right at the top, the first question from the honourable members, the answer is we are not recovering the total costs. And there are many reasons for that. Largely, we know many of these are historical leases, so we don't want to say that we are, but the system does not capture that at this stage. We're still going to upload that into the system. However, we are, or we have embarked now on the new process of our leasing out, where we are using the methodology of the minimum of rates and taxes plus a small percentage, such as 20%, that we pay over to the municipalities. And then if the property is leased for economic gain, the model includes a percentage of turnover. So that is the model going forward, whereby we're going to recover at least the minimum costs that are associated with the properties that belong to the state. So we are in that direction. Hopefully by 2019 or somewhere thereabouts, that would be implemented for all users. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. Let me just respond in terms of the numbers, the questions from the Honorable Fick and Honorable Ryder. The numbers, as we indicated on our presentation, that the IAR is not static, but the movement in the past, you know, we have been reporting on 92 or 93,000 improvements. Now, was it a disposal? No, it was not a disposal. The Department of Defense, the portfolio that is under DOD, the Department of Defense, it was verified by CSIR in 2011, so we did not verify that portfolio to just avoid any wasteful or fruitless expenditure. We just use that information to take it through our QA process. But now we realize that they recognize carports, about 4,000 carports were included on that database. And in terms of our own business rules, we don't actually recognize a carport now as an improvement. So we had to make those adjustments in our numbers. It's not a disposal, but rather it was just a derecognition of the carport in terms of our business rules. And the land pass, or the improvements, are these improvements located or built on the 29,644 land parcels. Some of the improvements, or what we call state domestic facilities, like police stations, prisons, etc., some of the improvements are built on non-state land, like private or tribal land. It's various categories. But some of them are built on provincial land. Well, it's still government, or even the land that belongs to the local government. We can actually, we do have that population. In fact, as a department, we have developed what you call a state domestic facilities framework. Not just DPW, it's for the public works sector. Because we realize that there's a risk if we have properties that are built on private or on land that does not belong to government. So now we need to embark on a process to actually transfer the land. Because if you have a structure built on somebody's land, truly speaking, the owner is the one who has the title deed. So we are addressing that risk. Yeah, so some of the land parcels are situated on tribal land, as I indicated. But it's not a lot. I think I've answered that on the disposal. I think the number in terms of the asset value, whether we are using the historical cost or the revaluation method. So a decision was taken in terms of the PMTE immovable asset management policy to say, are we going to use, as a department, are we going to use the cost model or the revaluation model? And then we decided that we cannot afford the revaluation model because it's expensive. It means that every year you need to do a revaluation of your properties. We need money to maintain our properties. So a decision was taken, rather let's use the cost model. So it's a cost. In terms of the value there of 126 billion there, in terms of whether the assets were the assets at 1 rand, this is the total value of all the assets. It's a combination. Some of the assets are recorded at cost through our construction department. We have a construction department. When the project is complete, we follow a process now to recognize and record those constructed projects. That it's a complete, it's a court, whatever the facility, we must now record it. It's at cost. But for the assets that were recorded at 1 rand, the challenge was to trace the historical cost. We tried in 2012-18 thereabout. We tried our best to say, can we trace the historical cost of all these assets? For instance, the union buildings. It was not really possible. Hence, we developed the fair value model, which was approved by National Treasury, to say, in the absence of the historical cost of any assets, we will apply the fair value model. And then, this way, we have that 126 is a combination of cost and the fair value model. The other question, maybe, I don't know whether, on the foreign assets, which you said that
you... Presumably you can confirm that we, on our system, we're not the custodian of
foreign assets. Yes, DM, we, in 1999, that function was transferred to DECO by the then Minister of Public and Service Administration. It was transferred. So the custodian, even in terms of the custodian framework of the department, we recognize DECO as a custodian of foreign assets. We have a custodian framework that was approved by the DG, because the national DPW is not the only custodian. We also have rural development, water affairs, state security, etc. So DECO is in that framework as a custodian of foreign properties.
Please, we must treat each other with respect. We're not here to really, we talk for South Africa. We're not politicking. Don't use some stories that we don't understand.
The question that you asked was, are the Namibian properties or the German properties on our immovable asset register? So you're asking colleagues who are in the information, in the IR and the immovable asset register section, okay? And so your question is, are those properties reflected in what we're reporting on today, how we are using our immovable asset register? And the answer is, we only put on our immovable asset register those properties for which we are the custodian. There are other custodians in the national space. Department of Rural Development and Rand Reform, for instance, is a custodian, and so on, and many others. When it comes to the foreign properties, the custodian is the Department of International Affairs. And so the question as to whether they've got those properties, how those properties are reflected on their immovable asset register, even whether they've got an immovable asset register, should be directed not to our colleagues here, because it's unfair to direct it to them, because it's not their responsibility, just as it's not their responsibility to record the immovable assets that are on the DURC, on the Rural Development and Land Reform, which would basically be largely your former homeland, if I'm not mistaken, land parcels, for instance, and improvements insofar as the improvements there. So they're not playing games with you. It's unfair to say they're playing games. It's not treating them with respect. And you were absolutely right. Let's treat each other with respect.
DM, I do hear your response, but unfortunately, I don't see what you see. Is
see, when we went to the visit, we're not theorizing. We're giving you a report, a factual report. There were officials from the Department of Public Works. Why did they go there? Besides that, they gave us a report of what Public Works has been doing there. Public Works have been selling properties there. There were officials that were with us. All of a sudden, now you are nowhere. And yet, your officials are the ones that were there with us. And they told us, they reported what has happened even prior our arrival there. So, but even what you are saying, DM, that you now that the property abroad, you are not responsible. We have also gone through the presentation, because when the Portfolio Committee of International Relations wants to introduce a new bill, that would then take these properties fully to their side. It became clear that in terms of the processes, there were understanding between Public Works and DECO on how to relate on these properties. But the ownership still remains with Public Works.
What you are confusing with respect, Chair, is the responsibility for disposal as opposed to custodianship. And that this is also the matter that has come up in the legislation that DERCO has been trying to, the Minister of DERCO has been trying to introduce. So just to repeat the point, on our asset register, and that's the subject of today's discussion, on our asset register, you will not find the Namibian properties, the German properties, and any other foreign properties. They are under the custodianship and therefore in theory on an asset register controlled by DERCO, and that's appropriate. Just as there are other asset registers, provincial asset registers and so forth, so what we are reporting on is what we are responsible for, and that's our asset register. Because of an anomaly in legislation, the disposal, the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform sorted that out and managed to have powers to dispose of property that are there controlling. DERCO, for whatever reasons, failed to sort that out in legislation. And so still today, in legislation, we have the powers, and they don't have the power, to dispose of property in Germany, for instance, or Namibia. So you're right to say that we've been involved in selling or trying to sell, because there was a failure to sell in some cases some of those Namibian properties, which we don't need. But we don't sell them on our own behalf. We work closely with DERCO, the custodian of those properties, to determine what they must decide, what are their use needs, what are their responsibilities, what do they want to invest in terms of property and so forth. And they have to turn to us for disposal. That is something that we need to sort out, because the custodian should also be the one responsible for the disposal as well. But as I said, because of a quirk of legislation and the failure to sort that out. So that's why also accompanying not these officials, but other officials from the department went with you to Namibia and have also been active in the space of Germany. And we are very frustrated, frankly, when it comes to Germany, with the German properties, because we've been saying to DERCO, this is an asset, a South African asset, and there I agree with you, and we must therefore also have a national perspective, that we're very frustrated. This is a hugely valuable asset which is wasted. Its value is declining massively and has declined massively in these 21 years. So we are frustrated, and we're saying, please make up your mind. If you want to dispose, we are ready to move for the disposal, but you must guide it, because we are not specialists in the needs of those operating in the international space on behalf of South Africa. So what I'm trying to say is, it's good that you're rocking the boat and pushing and being angry about the fact that we are not looking after and not making clear decisions as a government. You're absolutely right. It's good that you're putting that pressure on. But don't put pressure on these officials and even suggest that they're lying or playing political games and so on. It's completely unfair to them. It's absolutely not their issue. As national government, yes, criticize that. And in particular, we should put the pressure on Durka, as we are trying to do from within the department. So I hope that clarifies the matter.
Well, I don't agree with you in both angles. Where you think I must not talk to officials who are implementers, who are advisors of yourself. I've been listening to them, I've been asking them, you were fine with that. Now, all of a sudden, when it comes to these properties that have been allowed to deteriorate for 21 years, they must not be asked. Okay, you must be asked. Okay, that's fine. According to them, then answer them. In the ECO cannot sell properties. You, in terms of the law of the Republic, you are the one. Now, these properties has always been under the custodian of yourself, and there's that arrangement which. There's that arrangement between Derko and yourselves, which we were briefed about. Now, when the property, okay, even in South Africa, when you give a property to a department, and then the department stop using the property, do you allow that property to degenerate when South Africans are such in need of property as a developing country?
That's
when
a different matter. That's a completely different matter, Chair. That is where it applies the part, for example, and there are properties in there you can criticize us where we fail to pick up that paper that left the building and no longer use it, we're not. That is an appropriate thing. But they are not, that wouldn't be
So you accept that criticism? You think I can bring more of it? You are happy with that one, where you allow department to throw the properties away?
Yes.
Everybody keep quiet about those properties. Big properties,
yes.
Even here, but...
I don't want to get into a dialogue with you, but what I'm saying is that let's not conflate things. We have many cases where, for instance, peak residents are no longer in use. Often the problem in those cases
is that we are not informed. Okay, but there could be cases where we are informed, or we should be more on top of properties that we are in custodianship. We are the custodians. So there, it's correct to say that we must be more alert about properties over which we are the custodians, and so on. And that's one issue. The relationship between us and Durka in regard to the foreign properties is not of a user department and a custodian department. They are the custodians, and they should also be the disposers where disposal or acquisitions are required. But as I say, because of a technicality which we need to sort out, they've had to rely on us, but we have to rely on them for them to decide they want to dispose it or they want to use it in other ways. We don't, off our own bat, go and dispose of properties in Namibia or in Germany and so on. And it is a frustration for us at a national government level that Durka has not moved with speed, particularly on the, as you correctly said, there's this massively valuable building on the river which is just sitting there. So we agree with you, but what I'm trying to say is it's unfair to criticize or even ask questions about that because it's not on our immovable asset register. So it's unfair to I don't have a problem with you being robust with me or with the department or with department officials, but let's do so appropriately.
No, that is fine, dear, but I still maintain my position that the people that advise the department, the people that make the department work, even when you ministers come and go, they remain. It is these people. In fact, the Auditor General scrutinize them, their work, because, so the fact that you think you, I must not ask questions on them, that's what you think, that's not what I think. So there's no department without the officials. The department moves because the officials are able to move. For 21 years, DG, for 21 years, and Deputy Director General, you have a property in Bonn, which is available, is now getting to nothing. Properties almost in other countries. So remember, as DGs, you also advise the Cabinet of the Republic of South Africa. You are advisors, you are learned people. It's not like you, you know, this is what you say in the interview, that you'll do this and that. Now, how on earth a developing country such as South Africa would have properties that are laid unused for 21 years? And senior officials of the department say, no, the DM will protect us. And if whom? Because your duty is to advise him so that when he goes to the cabinet, he can even argue. So you are not then saved. He's trying to defend you. Then, okay, speak, DG.
I think there are two processes that we're going to... We may need to come and report maybe on this one. It's also related to assets. But on this one, I'll read something now, just to clarify the meeting. The second part is more about the matter that we are dealing with all other custodial authorities in terms of land and so on. It's dealt with separately, but we have never had an opportunity to come and present here. That's where we collate information of the entire country, working together with other departments, rural development, state-owned entities, and so on. We do have that process that we're undertaking. This one, there is a memo which was signed in 1999. Can I read it, one paragraph, for the meeting?
Yeah, we have seen it. You can read it.
Oh, you've seen it?
That's a memo. There's no, it's in the proclamation. So, but okay, it's a memo. But these things are done formally, but that does not allow you to keep quiet and look on the other side when the property is degenerating. So,
yeah,
whatever the association, because you are still an important stakeholder up to work in terms of protecting government, wherever it is, I think you act as government. You are the protector of the people's property. So it doesn't help when you say it's DECO, and DECO says it's public wealth, and that. It doesn't help. I am not going to join this defense, which is this one says that one. That one says. So it's not helping the country. It's not helping the poor people who need more money for various needs. And we can't have this property lying. In many countries, our properties are lying unused. So as a director general, you can meet, if you must meet Jerko, if you must meet whoever, you can, and even create something that will go to cabinet. So you are compromising the poor people of the country. Yes,
Didi? Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, dear. We have already had a session, the three DGs. It was Public Works, DECO, and Secret Services to discuss this matter. In the light of already the concerns that you are raising as to how do we move forward And then administratively, I think it's a matter that we're still working on. We'll advise our principals, and then we'll also come and report to this meeting. Already, administratively, there are discussions, taking into consideration already decisions that have been taken in 1999, which relate to what are the roles and responsibilities pertaining to foreign assets, which, as government, we need to come up with an approach to protect what belongs to the state. I think that one, let's say, will be given an opportunity once we finalize the discussion to ensure that we report back. I think that will be much better. Also on the other one, the first one that I've already reported, we may need to come and report here so that our portfolio committee, honorable members, should know what are the processes that are being undertaken with respect to matters of this nature, which primarily we are not reporting here, but we need to ensure that we report so that you should not hear what is happening outside whilst you are actually also involved in these matters of this nature. We'll definitely facilitate a report of this nature. Thanks, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, DG. I think that is helping. When you take responsibility, I really appreciate. Well, that's what I expect from the South African senior officials, to take responsibility. I also note that the DM is also trying, because he also has a responsibility to protect you. He is also trying it, so that's fine. Now, in terms of that report, how should we record it? We will be reporting on how, so that we record it, reporting on how. We report on what, or is it on disposal on assets outside, or how? Because even in terms of assets in South Africa, we not happy at all that you, Public Works, is supposed to be custodian. Of course, it may be others have been with other departments. Now they dump them. Now, but the people of South Africa, they say it's Public Works. So, which means then you should be looking then when the department is not. In fact, even from the time when you give a property to a department, there should be the clauses. If you no longer use it, it must come back, and it you must be a responsible department. You don't give the buildings and then forget. If they dump it, you don't care. Nobody cares. Now the people of South Africa are looking at us, members of portfolio committee, are looking at ministers, are also looking at you as a senior people. They know that you are senior people. This thing that the DM is protecting you, but people, they know, hey, you are powerful people. They know that it is you who write memos to cabinet. They know these things. So now how will the report, so that we record it, because we think it will talk to the properties inside the country, and also those properties that are the problem, they are degenerating when we are under our watch. We just say, no, it's not me, it's that one, not me. But we're part of South Africa. Okay, did you?
We can summarize it as the management and disposal of properties outside South Africa. We can report on that. And also, what I'm saying, which I think this portfolio committee will have never had an opportunity to report, is more on the area of the properties in the form of land that we're actually making it available for land reform purposes. Because if we don't report on that one, you might see our property portfolio getting affected by the process that is taking place outside. We may want to come and report specifically on that one. There is an IMC that is set to discuss those aspects, but we may want to also report to the portfolio committee on that one also. Issues of land properties that are meant for land reform purposes. You will see the magnitude is quite huge. And then also we may also want to report how it is going to affect the PMTE going forward. The amount that is indicated there is going to be severely affected because we are making that land available without any benefit, because it's state versus the state. sometimes it's lent for restitution purposes. So that should be reported to the portfolio committee so that we need to move together on that one also.
My other worry, which is the committee worry, are properties that are some property are goods that they may be dumped by other departments, but they're originally from yourselves. So not land only, the properties, buildings. You know that South Africa has many homeless people who were put in that situation by apartheid. Now you were employed to reverse the imbalances of the past, of apartheid. Now you're not doing it. You rather allow the buildings to remain, degenerate. Without these homeless people, they must remain under the bridges here in Cape Town. And even in other countries, in other provinces, the situation is like this. People are in these buildings, but you cannot even transfer this building to them. We went to Umtata, for example. There were people who have been in the building for more than 20 years. They have been renting them. Others, we think even that renting needs to be checked if it is a legitimate. We think some officials of health department are really doing what is not fair to the people. So we think all these matters, the department, you are the custodian, the people are quick to blame public works on everything. So you have a duty to also fight in the cabinet, because criticism comes on you. We were just in a joint committee meeting with the police. They were even proposing that in parliament, in the sitting, there should be a motion that put a vote of no confidence to the public works at the department, so it's a department that must be closed. So the honorable members here of public works defended. They defended. Honorable Radio was the first to say the issue that the police were even reporting was not supposed to be on the agenda. So I'm saying we defended. So now the view is that almost all departments are anti-public works. So which means even public works must then also do things better. Where other departments are not playing the ball, you must be able to say, preempt it, because it will come back to you. Where they dump properties, when you give them properties and they are no longer used, you must check. There was a question about how many field workers you have. So people must check. Your work is to check the properties that belong to government. Are they used? Are they not utilized? And then do something about it. This thing, good, you go to church, you will tell God to do things that you cannot do. It's not accepted even in heaven. You are deployed here to work. Genesis 3, verse 19. You are deployed to work until you go back. So do things. Do things. The nation expects us, all of us, to really do the bit we can do. So I hope we are noting your suggestion, DG. Then that we must find then that time. But these properties, please, let's be concerned about these properties. As officials, be concerned. I'm inviting you to be concerned. When you see properties that are not, don't say no. It was given to that department. We don't care. The I don't care attitude is not good for homeless people. Honorable Reda.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think perhaps if I can ask the department at a future date, because I think it's going to help us a lot in our work, to perhaps give us the test that is applied. When does a property come to public works and when doesn't it? Okay. And I think if you can give us a bit of a breakdown how that works, I think that would be useful, because I know that there's arrangements with Transnet, there's arrangements with that and the next thing, and that would be incredibly useful. Just to point as well to the fact that there is a bill number 35 of 2015, that's called the Foreign Services Bill, and clause 8 of that specifically deals with the foreign assets. So just to point that is something that is being pushed forward for completion within the current sitting of this parliament. But I do think it's important for us to understand, you know, because so often, and I mean, you know, it was news to me at last week's meeting as well, that there's a whole bunch of police stations that have been devolved, where custodianship has been devolved to police. And I'm not sure on what basis that was, you know. Can any department just decide, well, Public Works is doing a lousy job, we want to take control of our own buildings, and then that would obviously affect the asset register directly. And so perhaps also a valid question for today would be a case of, and something that the chair alluded to, you know, there's a MIMO existing. That's fine. In terms of Guillaume, that MIMO actually needs to be gazetted. So what test is used in the building of the immovable asset register to determine whether a devolution is in fact valid, or whether it A, exists, and B, is valid when you're building your asset register? Thank you, Chair.
Okay, I think we accept this proposal from the DG that you will then try and make us a bit, don't make us understand, make us clear that there's something being done to correct what is wrong for a developing country to play I don't care. Any department that plays I don't care, from where any official, any minister, any DM who says I don't care is not helping. So we must take great care and show what the properties that are not utilized are utilized. Find ways. If you must engage another DG, engage another minister, let's do all that is possible to help these properties help the people of South Africa. So I think we will be hoping that your presentation will come with a solution, not to clear yourself, but no, it's not me, I didn't kill that thing. So let's find a solution, because we are part of South Africa. I think that will be helpful. I hope you understand where I say. So don't be happy, it's not you, because I'm not happy. So you can do something to correct the situation. 21 years. So we hope that when you present, please, you'd find some solutions. So, honorable members, can we, is there any other matter? Is there any matter before we close?
Chair, not for today. But I do want to speak about a meeting tomorrow, which is scheduled, and at this stage it's going to be you and me, which doesn't make a meeting, Chair. That's an informal gathering if you and I get together. And considering the fact that the business we're going to be dealing with tomorrow is incomplete pending our meeting of the next week, I'm going to request that perhaps we consider not meeting tomorrow unless we meet in the tea room for a slice of cake. I'll buy.
Okay. Kakapik, are you in agreement?
Yeah, Chairperson, well, obviously, I'm not going to be present tomorrow. So that's the reason why Honorable Ryder has raised the point. I mean, I've got something else that is very important that I need to deal with. So I'm in agreement then. If it's only going to be you and Honorable Ryder, I wouldn't want to be at that meeting as well.
Okay.
No, I'm advised that there's nothing wrong if indeed the 10 out of 100 members is not helping the meeting, and also the fact that the meeting is also depending on another meeting that might come later. So which means it's still okay to then defer the meeting to after that other meeting. So which means that it comes after that other meeting. So I think I'm persuaded. So So I think from this angle we have done a bit. Thank you very much. Take it easy, Matthews. Take it easy, but do fight the men for the people, for the poor one. You can't be saying, no, it's not me, it's that one. Thank you very much. This meeting stands adjourned.
Yeah.